Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did you notice the church sign when you drove in this morning? If you did, you'll notice the title of our message. Our message is entitled Unfinished Business. Based on our Luke 14 text, and today I have for you a story sermon. So unlike usually, there will be no outline in your outline to follow as we consider this story sermon based on Luke 14. These words, "Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and Jesus turned and said to them, 'For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and he is not able to finish, everyone who sees it will begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build, but he's not able to finish." So therefore, Jesus says, whoever of you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Again, the title of our story sermon, Unfinished Business. Joseph and his wife, Wendy, walked into the room. It was very clear as soon as they went into the room that it was a lawyer's office. It was designed to impress. It was designed to intimidate. And it did both very well. "Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson," a petite lady said, sitting behind a massive oak desk. "I am Beatrice Slater, the executor of your father's will." She rose and came forth and shook their hands. She gave them what was meant to be a comforting look, but it was obvious that she had practiced this hundreds or thousands of times. This was, after all, her line of work. She dealt with people like Joseph and Wendy when they lost a loved one to death all the time. "I'm sorry for your loss," she said somewhat distractedly. "Now, if you'll please take a seat over here, we'll get down to looking at the will." As Joseph settled in the firm leather chair, he still couldn't believe that he was there. He looked over at his wife, Wendy. She seemed to be holding up pretty well after all they'd just gone through. And as she sat in the chair, she absently, mindedly was rubbing her tummy because she was 7 months pregnant. And she really showed. This was supposed to be a happy time for the couple. But Joseph thought to himself, "Dad didn't even know about our baby yet." And he had to lower his eyes so the lawyer wouldn't see his eyes welling up with tears. "Mr. Johnson," said the lawyer behind the desk. Joseph looked up at her. "I understand it's been some time since you've had contact with your father." Yes, it's been almost 2 years." "I see," the woman said, hardly blinking. "Well, you should know that in that time, your father's situation has changed quite a bit. And the month before he passed away, he rewrote his will." There was no big surprise to Joseph because he knew that his father had fell upon hard times. 4 years ago, his mother had died and his dad had never taken it or handled it very well. He had developed many problems. In fact, Joseph was surprised there was anything left in his father's will to discuss today. "As part of your father's last wishes," said the lawyer, "he recorded this tape to be played before the contents of his will was written," and she held up a cassette tape. For the first time since arriving, Joseph noticed in the office in the corner a large TV set. He looked over to Wendy. She looked somewhat puzzled and a little bit apprehensive. Considering what his father had been through, Joseph was thinking, there's probably no telling what's on that tape. Mrs. Slater seemed to sense their apprehension. "Is something wrong?" she asked. Joseph asked her, "Have you seen the tape? What was my father's state of mind? Should my wife leave the room?" She looked somewhat puzzled. "Mr. Johnson, I've seen the tape. It's just fine." She got up, put the tape into the machine. The lights were dimmed. Joseph and Wendy stole one last glance at each other. squeezed each other's hands, looked forward in the chair, and there on the screen sat a well-dressed older man who seemed very calm. Joseph couldn't remember the last time he saw his father look so good. The figure on the TV fidgeted with some papers for a little while, and then he looked right into the camera and said, "Hello, Joseph. And Wendy, too, I hope. If you're watching this, it means that I've died. And I hope that before I made this tape, I had a chance to reconcile with the both of you. It's something I wanted more than anything else. But if I haven't had that chance to reconcile with you, please accept my apology. In part, that's why I'm recording this message today. There are a few things I wanted to tell you. I didn't want there to be any unfinished business between us. First of all, let me tell you, Joseph, that a father couldn't be any prouder of his son. Every time I looked at you, I was reminded of myself. The two of us are closer than you think. And it's not just because both of us became architects. Two peas in a pod. That's what we are." He seemed to falter and choke just for a moment. "Joseph, knowing how much you're like me, I just wanted to tell you that I'm sorry. I'm sorry that things haven't worked out better for us. I'm sorry that I made so many mistakes in my life. I'm sorry that I'm beginning to see you make the same mistakes I made. I want to tell you my life story. Some of it you may know, but a lot of it you probably don't. I wanted you to hear it just from me so you could learn from it and not make the same mistakes, son, that I did." Joseph and Wendy looked at each other, and the cassette tape continued. "It's hard to know where to begin. I guess I should tell you that my parents, your grandparents, were very religious people. They raised me in the church since before I can even remember." You probably didn't know that. "Now, as a family, you and I and your mother went to church, at least once a month. Mama wanted to go more, but too many things seemed to get in the way. The life of an architect was busy. And it seemed like on Sunday mornings, we could take you to sports practice, hockey practice. And when summer came, it was soccer camp. And, well, at least we made sure you were confirmed. But we didn't try hard enough to keep you in church. We didn't do the job of parents have been called to do by God. When you went off to school and became an architect yourself, you didn't seem to have much time for church anymore. And you know, I blame myself for that. I know that you still believe, and Wendy believes too. And son, Wendy's probably been trying to get you to go to church more often, hasn't she? You ought to listen to her." Joseph found Wendy's hand and gave it a squeeze, and she squeezed it back. "Dad had hit the nail right on the head. Only a couple days ago, they've been talking about this very thing. Neither of them took their eyes off the screen." Father continued, "You know, Joseph, when your mother died 4 years ago, I didn't handle it very well. Your mother was everything to me. Without her, I was lost. I fell apart. I blamed myself for not able to be doing more. We knew their cancer was terminal. But we put everything we had in finding a cure, even experimental things. Nothing worked. And I hated God for taking her away from me. Shortly after she died, I went off the deep end. I don't know how to describe it. I started playing cards, started gambling. Gambling was a way for an escape. I thought it was a way to get control back into my life. Oh, I was wrong. I was terribly wrong. Now, throughout this whole time, the people from the old church kept in touch with me. They tried their best to help me. I guess at the time, I wanted none of it. I was still angry with God. I decided to go it alone. After all, I figured He wasn't there when I needed Him, so what was the use? But shortly after you and I stopped talking, Joseph, I hit rock bottom. I personally don't see how things could get any worse. I even thought about taking my own life. I lost everything. My family, my job, my money. Everything I had went into paying her doctor bills or paying back the debtors, creditors for my gambling debts. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. Everything in this world I had put my trust in to give my life meaning and purpose had let me down. There was nothing left for me. At least, that's what I thought back then. But then, good old Pastor Marshall came by for a visit. Joseph's eyebrows raised. Pastor Marshall? Well, man, he had performed Mom's funeral. Was he still alive? Was he still around? Joseph thought he retired long ago. Apparently, he was still at the old church. Had he and Wendy been away from church that long? I don't know why exactly, the father said, but one day, there was a knock at the door, and there stood a good old Pastor Marshall. He was the one who baptized and confirmed you, Joseph, you remember? Anyway, he said he hadn't seen me for a while and wanted to stop by and ask me if everything was okay. I told him in no uncertain terms everything was not okay. In fact, I began to rant and rave and in his face tell him how not okay everything was. I guess I laid into Pastor Marshall pretty hard. I had a lot of stuff to work through. But Pastor Marshall just sat there calmly and he let me vent. He took everything I threw at him, no matter how vulgar or unfair it was. That first visit lasted for over 4 hours when Pastor Marshall left the house and I closed the door behind him. I knew that my heart had changed. Over the past 9 months, I've had many meetings with Pastor Marshall over a cup of coffee. He's always been there for me, although sometimes I bet he was pretty frustrated with me. But he helped me work through a lot of stuff. Joseph, it's the kind of stuff I want you never to have to go through in your life with Wendy. I guess the breakthrough came for me when Pastor Marshall and I began to work through a small section of the Gospel of Luke. I'd like to read it for you. As his father fumbled to put on his reading glasses, he opened his Bible, and then Joseph's father looked up at the screen with a big grin on his face. I bet you never thought you'd hear a sermon from your dear old dad, did you, hey? And Joseph even had to chuckle at that. And Joseph's father began to read from the Gospel of Luke. Now great multitudes accompanied Jesus, and he turned to them and said, "For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he's laid a foundation and is not able to finish, people will mock him and say, 'This man began to build but wasn't able to finish.' Jesus said, therefore, whoever of you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." When he finished reading, he took off his reading glasses and began to rub his eyes. Joseph's father was beginning to lose his composure just a little bit. "Son, being an architect, this passage struck me pretty hard. You see, all along, I thought I was being a pretty good Christian. Tried to live the best life I could. Tried to do right by your mom and you. I even tried to go to church at least once a Sunday when I wasn't too busy. I thought that's all there was to being a good Christian. Son, I was wrong. Very wrong. The whole time you were growing up, the whole time your mother was sick, and all the days after it, there were barriers between me and God the whole time. I never really saw them until just recently. You see, I put my work and my family first to the exclusion of God and my real heavenly family. I put my trust in my technology and my architect skills and my money and my own abilities. And in the end, every one of those things let me down. Everything in this world I had put my trust in finally let me down till I had nothing left. Everything I had done in my life until these last few months amounted to nothing more than a monument to my own stupidity. My life was like that unfinished tower Jesus talked about in Luke. My life was full of unfinished business. And no matter how hard I tried by myself, I wasn't going to get it finished either. But that's what the Bible is talking about here in Luke. I tried to build my life into a tower, something I could be proud of, but all I built was an empty shell. I tried to fight my best against everything life threw against me, but I lost. Joseph, Wendy, by ourselves, we just don't have the resources it takes to get through this life. Our building supplies for life have to come from somewhere outside of ourselves, not inside. Joseph, are you listening? The building supplies from our life come from Jesus. He is that building supplier that will help you build your life into something that will last and you can be proud of. Joseph, He is what I've been missing so long in my life. All that time I spent working hours after hours. All that time I spent keeping you busy with sports, Sunday after Sunday. I was missing what was really important. Jesus is our brother. God is our heavenly Father. We're together, all God's sons and daughters. He made us His sons when we were baptized, Joseph. He gives us all what we need to stand up against which this life throws us. Joseph, you can find everything you need in His holy word and in His holy supper, because there, sinners like you and me learn of His love for us. His love that sent Him to a cross and to the empty grave to give us Easter victory. Joseph, and his father took a deep swallow at that point and looked down. I can't tell you how much a rediscovery of these truths has changed my life. I'm a different person now. All because I've come to realize that Jesus is my Lord and Savior and loves me so very much, despite the stupid things I did to myself and to Him. My son, that's what I want to share with you before I go on. You don't have to do all the stupid things I did. You don't have to go it alone. Son, don't let your life be an unfinished tower. Don't leave any unfinished business between you and God. You have Jesus with you, my son. He has died and risen for you, Joseph. He loves you no matter what. He'll make all the difference in the world to you and to your family. Closing his Bible, Joseph's father paused for a moment, swallowed hard, and said, I love you, Joseph. I hope you know that. I'll be watching and waiting for you in heaven. Take care of Wendy. And Joseph, make sure your children know Jesus. As the image of Joseph's father on the TV screen turned to electronic snow, Joseph came to realize that sometime during the video, Wendy had come over and placed her hands on his shoulders, standing behind him. He didn't even know when she did that. Mrs. Slater abruptly turned the lights as the lawyer and said, now let's get on with the reading of the will. A short time later, Joseph and Wendy emerged from the lawyer's office with one small box. After paying back his gambling debts and giving a final donation to the home church, Joseph's father had only had enough left to pay for his funeral expenses. And all he had left to leave Joseph was in that box. It was his old Bible. As Joseph stopped to look at it, he found out that inside the dog-eared front cover was a handwritten bookmark in the handwriting of his own father. On the front of it, it said, "Consider the cost, then look to Christ, who has paid the price." And on the back of the bookmark was a phone number and a message. This is Pastor Marshall's phone number. He's waiting for your call. Love always, Dad. Amen.